Hello, I'm Dr. Kylie Fisher. Welcome to Heavenly Harmonies. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The gospel, the atonement, reveals the character of God. And it's the wonderful story of God's plan to save people, planet, and the universe from the devastating effects of sin. Yet, this wonderful good news of the gospel goes forward against fierce opposition. How can the character of a God of love be revealed through conflict, even spiritual conflict? Discover more about this in our hymn for today, We Are Living, We Are Dwelling. Stay with me to find out how this hymn can help you to stay near to the heart of God. Today, in our episode of Heavenly Harmonies, we are starting a brand new season. And so we have looked at, in previous seasons, the birth of Christ, His life on earth. We saw that He came to earth in a very humble position, that He lived on earth as a man. He experienced the same conflicts with sin that we have to experience. And yet He was victorious in every conflict with His arch enemy, with Satan. So although Satan, this beautiful angel that had been created by Christ Himself, chose of his own will to rebel and then led human beings very sadly into sin, Christ still, I guess in a sense, even loves this fallen angel, though there's nothing he can do anymore to save him. But Christ loved human beings so much that He was willing to come to earth to show them the life that they can live through the power of God and how they can be victorious over sin. And so He lived His perfect life as an example to them, and then He died on that cruel cross, feeling the pain of separation from His Father, feeling that pain of being cut off from His Father. And He experienced death, He experienced the second death, and yet He could not remain in the grave. He rose again to life, and He went back to heaven, and He's now in heaven doing a very important work. So all of these things we've really only just actually scratched the surface. Barely scratched the surface of these amazing truths, the amazing life of Christ on earth. But that's what we've looked at in the past two seasons. We've got one season with looking at the birth of Christ specifically, and then at His life, death, and resurrection. And so that's what we've done so far in Heavenly Harmonies. But we're now going to press on to a new theme, and yet the programs that we've already done are part of this theme, which is actually a larger theme. It's the theme of the Bible. And that is this theme of the great controversy. And it's the amazing story of God's plan to save us, to save not only us human beings, but also this planet that has been devastated by the effects of sin. And we will talk more about that in our hymn today. But also the universe has been sadly affected by this malady, this deadly cancer of sin. And so the great controversy is not only a plan to save people, is not only a plan to save our planet, but it's a plan to safeguard the universe from the devastating effects of sin. And as I've been saying, this is the theme of the Bible. And so in our programs, in Heavenly Harmonies, this season, we are going to have a very brief overview of this amazing plan that goes forward through conflict, and we're going to look at it in song. And so our hymn for today, the hymn that we are going to start off this amazing topic with, is the wonderful song, We Are Living, We Are Dwelling. This is a very rousing hymn. So let's get straight into the first verse, which says, We are living, we are dwelling in a grand and awful time, in an age on ages telling, to be living is sublime. Hark, the waking up of nations, Gog and Magog to the fray. Hark, what soundeth? Is creation groaning for her latter day? So let's stop and have a bit of a look at this first verse and see what it's saying to us. So as we've been saying, we are going this season to trace through this conflict that spans approximately 6,000 years so far. It is a little bit longer than that. We don't know exactly how long it is, but it is thousands of years. We do know that. It's approximately 6,000 years. But this song brings us to the relevance of this conflict for today. And so, yeah, it's really stirring words to start with. We are living, we are dwelling in a grand and awful time, in an age on ages telling. Now, let's just go back to that word awful there. We're living in an awful time. Now, awful is one of the words in the English language that the meaning of which has somewhat changed in terms of its common usage. And, you know, when we do look at the events around us, many people might describe a lot of those events as being very awful in the sense that we would normally use this word today, which is kind of like horrible, terrible, and that sort of thing. But the word awful actually comes from two words that are, I guess it's kind of a compound word, two words that are put together, which is awe, as in A-W-E, and full, F-U-L-L. So it's awful or full of awe. And that's probably more the sense in which this song is using these words. You know, we're living in a time that calls us to, when we think about the three angels' messages, which we have spoken about in other programs, you know, in those messages, in the first angel's message, we're called on to fear God and give glory to him and to worship our Creator. So this is a time that actually does call us to reverence God. So it's in that sense, I think, that this word is particularly used here. And, you know, as we look at the events around us and, you know, there's environmental effects, there's, social upheaval, political changes, just no matter where you look, there is havoc all over the world. And it's when we come face to face with that sort of thing that it helps us to just actually stop and think about, you know, where is even my life going? And so it's a time that calls us to think very seriously about, you know, what am I doing with my life? What is the meaning of life? So we are living, we are dwelling in a grand and awful time, in an age on ages telling. And, you know, the Bible calls the times in which we're now living, we don't have time to go into it, but there's a number of verses in the book of Daniel particularly that talk about the time of the end. And the Bible has been preserved by God miraculously for our day. And we will be learning about that more in future programs in this season. So the Bible has been miraculously preserved because it has special messages for us living in this day. And these messages have not been understood even by those who wrote them. The prophet Daniel said that he did not understand the messages that were given to him, but he was told by the angel and even by Christ himself to write these messages down. And God has seen fit to preserve his word. It's there for us today. So let's really, really value that word. So we're living in an age on ages telling. We are living in the time of the end. And yeah, as the song says, hark, the waking up of nations, Gog and Magog to the fray. Now, again, we're so short of time. There's so much actually in this song, so much jam-packed into it. But Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 18 sheds some light, or particularly Ezekiel 38, but particularly verse 18, sheds light on this idea, you know, who is this Gog and Magog? What in the world is that talking about? Well, if you look in Ezekiel 38 verse 18, you see that Gog was coming against the land of Israel. And so when it speaks there about Gog and Magog, those are really symbols of forces that are standing against truth and standing against righteousness in these last days. And so, yeah, this conflict that has been going on for approximately 6,000 years is coming to a head. It's coming to its grand conclusion in this our day. We don't know how soon this whole controversy between good and evil will wrap up. So we need to be sure that we're on the right side today, this moment, and every day and every moment. And I do want to mention as well, the last line of this first verse, hark, what soundeth? Is creation groaning for her latter day? And so that's based on Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. Romans chapter 8 verse 22. So as I was saying earlier on, God's plan, this amazing plan of the gospel, is not only to save people from sin, but also our planet is suffering under the effects of sin. Romans 8 verse 22 says, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So, you know, the Bible shows that God created a world of indescribable beauty. It was never God's plan that animals should kill each other and that there should be all this, you know, devastating environmental impacts, you know, all of the beautiful trees and so many other beautiful things, the birds and many other amazing animals that God has created. And all of these things are suffering because of the perversity of human beings. That's so tragic. It breaks God's heart. And he wants to restore this world to this beautiful Eden beauty. And that's what Revelation 21 and 22 describes, how that once Jesus has come again and, you know, sin is forever ended, God will recreate this world and it will be absolutely beautiful and perfect, never more to be subject to the pain of sin. But at the moment, we are living in this tremendous battle. Let's look at the second verse and see what that has to say to us about this. Christian, rouse and arm for conflict. Nerve thee for the battlefield. Bear the helmet of salvation and the mighty gospel shield. Now you'll notice that this is talking about a battle, a conflict, and this is what I have been saying. So what type of a conflict are we talking about? Do we as Christians actually need to have swords and spears and guns and cannons and all of this sort of thing, like physical weapons? That's not what the Bible says. That is not the teachings of the Bible. So let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Now, the Apostle Paul writing here says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not fleshly. They're not, I guess, in a sense, physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So this is not primarily a battle of swords and spears, although those things have been used against God's people. But God calls us to engage every day in a warfare where we are standing nobly for truth. And it's a warfare more of ideas and principles than it is of physical conflict. And so let's look at another famous passage about this. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and beginning at verse 10. And Paul, the Apostle Paul again writing, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, friends, we are not fighting against other human beings, though other human beings sadly do. And, you know, sometimes even we ourselves, sadly, when we have chosen to follow Christ, you know, those old habits can be so strong that they will pull us and lead us to do the works of the enemy. That's so tragic. You know, I think of the times in my own life when tragically I've done that. And that's, you know, what a terrible betrayal of Christ who, you know, won such great victories over Satan. It's so sad. But really, friends, what we are battling against is evil spirits that have rebelled, you know, that were once created as beautiful, pure angels, and yet now they just, their whole existence is given to evil. And, you know, what a tragic thing that is. So friends, that is who we are battling against. And how do we battle against these? Well, obviously, you know, physical swords and spears will do us no good against these spiritual forces. And so what does the Apostle Paul advise? In verse 13, he says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." And that's the greatest weapon of all. All prayer. That's such a great weapon. And so that's what this song is saying. The second verse of this song, as we started reading, "Bear the helmet of salvation and the mighty gospel shield. Let the breastplate peace be on thee. Take the Spirit's sword in hand. Boldly, fearlessly go forth then in Jehovah's strength to stand." So we stand not in our own strength, but we stand in the strength of Christ. And that's the power of prayer. That's all prayer, that great weapon. So let's go on to the third verse, because this does talk to us a little bit more about these spiritual forces. "And the prince of evil spirits, great deceiver of the world, he who at the blessed Jesus once his deadly weapons hurled." Well, who is this talking about? As we have mentioned, a being that was once the leader of the angels in heaven, and sadly he rebelled. And let's read about this in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7 and see what that says. What happened one day? "Sadly, in heaven, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Also, Revelation chapter 13 talks about this devil that deceives the world. He deceives the world by false miracles that he's able to do. But Revelation 12 verse 3 starts out by speaking about the dragon. Verse 4 speaks about how this dragon stood before a woman that was ready to give birth to a male child, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And we've spoken about this in previous programs, that when Christ was born here on earth, Satan, working through the power of pagan Rome, tried to destroy Christ at his birth, when King Herod slew all the children under 2 years of age, all the male children under 2 years of age, in an effort to try to destroy Christ, the rightful heir to the throne. Satan tried to destroy Christ at his birth, but when he was unsuccessful in that, he tried to achieve his plan to foil, to destroy the plan of redemption by trying to lead Christ to sin, by tempting him to sin. And of course, he was not successful in that. So that was a wonderful victory that our Savior gained while he was on the earth. So he who at the blessed Jesus once his deadly weapons hurled. So Satan tried to overcome Christ, but he could not do it. He lost in every battle. But what did he do after he lost the battle with Christ and Christ returned to heaven? Because we're obviously still living on earth. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Now, he said, "It is finished." And so Christ's work was finished, but we see that the battle has been raging for another 2,000 years. So clearly this battle, this whole great controversy is not yet over. Well, let's see what Revelation 12 verse 12 says. Revelation 12 verse 12, speaking about the victory that Christ gained on the cross and when he rose again to life. Revelation 12 verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." You know, when Jesus died upon that cross, the death knell of Satan, the death knell of evil was sounded. Satan knew that his kingdom would finally die and that he himself would also finally be destroyed. So our song actually says, our song picks this up and says that this devil, he comes with unwanted, or that is unprecedented power, knowing that his reign will cease when the kingdom shall be given to the mighty Prince of Peace. And so the final verse, in even stronger language, encourages us to fight and to join in this battle. The fourth verse says, "Christian, rouse, fight in this warfare. Cease not till the victory is won, till your captain loud proclaimeth, servant of the Lord, well done." That comes from Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, Jesus presenting the parable of the talents. Those servants who had faithfully done their work, they were told, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And those are the words that we want to hear from Christ. Although we are so unworthy, we know that we can only achieve these things through Christ working through us. So, he alone who thus is faithful, who abideth to the end, hath the promise in the kingdom and eternity to spend. You know, what a glorious, glorious promise that is. Revelation 21 verse 4 points us forward to the amazing time when the saints will inherit the kingdom. And it says in Revelation 21 verse 4, such a beautiful verse, which says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." What a beautiful promise, what a beautiful hope we have to look forward to. Not just, you know, enjoying the few pleasures of earth for a brief lifetime, but in that perfect world where there's no pain, no death, for eternity. What can compare with it? And so, just before we do listen to this song, I would just like to make just a couple of comments about singing this song, or if you were to be just even speaking this song as a poem. This is an amazing song or poem to use to encourage yourself, to rally yourself and others when you're feeling down and discouraged and you feel like you just can't keep going any longer. This is such a rousing poem, such a rousing song. But what I would like to just really emphasize, one particular point is, with this sort of song, you know, and even myself as I'm actually speaking about this, it's so tempting to overspeak and to oversing. So would really encourage you to think about, you know, don't think that you have to, in this sort of a song, sing at the absolute top of your lungs. You know, sing loudly, but always strive to sing sweetly. Remember, we serve the Prince of Peace, and just let your voice resonate rather than forcing it out. So let's listen to this amazing hymn. We are going to listen to Christian Edition singing for us now. We are living, we are dwelling.
We are living, we are dwelling in a grand and awful time. In an age on ages telling, to be living is sublime. Hark, the waking up of nations, Gog and Magog to the fray. Hark, what soundeth his creation, groaning for her latter day. Christian, rouse and arm for conflict, nerve thee for the battlefield. Bear the helmet of salvation and the mighty gospel shield. Let the breastplate peace be on thee, take the spirit sword in hand. Boldly, fearlessly go forth and in Jehovah's strength to stand. And the prince of evil spirit, great deceiver of the world, he who at the blessed Jesus once his deadly weapons hurled, cometh with unwanted power, knowing that his reign will cease, when the kingdom shall be given to the mighty Prince of Peace. Christian, rouse, fight in this warfare, cease not till the victory's won. Till your captain loud proclaimeth, servant of the Lord, well done. He alone who thus is faithful, who abideth to the end, hath the promise in the kingdom an eternity to spend.
What a wonderful promise that is. Luke chapter 12 and verses 42 and 43 say, "The Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler of his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Let's say a brief prayer that we might be amongst that group that remains faithful right to the very end. Would you bow your head with me? Dear Lord, we're so grateful for this, the wonderful hope that we have of eternal life. And we know that it has been purchased at great cost, even the cost of the life and death and sufferings of the Son of God. And so, dear Lord, I just pray that you will be with us. Help us to grasp by faith that the victories that Christ gained here on earth are victories for us, and that we can be victorious just as Christ was victorious. Help us to engage in this warfare today and every day, standing nobly for truth and righteousness, I do pray. And so, dear Lord, I just pray that you will be with each person listening to this broadcast. Help us to stand for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you so much for joining me today on Heavenly Harmonies. Please join me again next time when we will discuss another stirring hymn. But until then, goodbye and stay close to the heart of God through song.